It's all Elton John's fault. You know, I was thinking about that while I'm pushing this big-ass piano up this metal ramp to get it into the U-Haul. I had a few inebriated friends to help me, which was a good thing. So once we got it up there, I went back into the house to get all my belongings. I packed everything up in the truck and went back and said goodbye to my friends and kissed my mother and the family, got in the truck, and off I headed up 95 north to be on my way to become a rock star. It was an auspicious day. So off I went up 95, and to explain the Elton John connection, this was in about 1972, and a couple years before that, Elton John had an album called 11-17-70. Now, I know you all have the album, and probably one of your favorite songs, like mine, is Burn Down the Mission. When I first heard it, right, huh? Burn Down the Mission. When I first heard this, I had an epiphany. I knew what my life was supposed to be. I was supposed to be a rock star. So again, here I'm going north. Now, you know, it was mid-January, and when I got up there, there's not as many venues for rock stars as you may think there are. Luckily, I had some friends who got me a gig in the Landing Lounge. Now, you've all been to the Landing Lounge. You know, it's dark, smoky, and it has big portholes on the side that you can look at, a little bit of netting. And so it was a very exciting thing. Now, I was following up this guy who had been there for years, and he played the organ. And when he would get the crowd all rowdy, he would push a button and it would start rotating. Now, these are big shoes to fill, all right? Well, they got rid of the organ, and so they had a lovely piano, and I got in there, and I was playing a few of my own songs, and then I go into Burn Down the Mission, right? All of a sudden, this woman gets off the bar stool. She comes running across. She had a James Dean haircut, very severe. She took a leap, and she flew up and right on top of the piano. Now, I'm in a frenzy here with Burn Down the Mission, and all of a sudden she says really loud, "Play them black notes." And she took a $50 bill and she stuck it down my shirt. I thought, oh my God, fame and fortune's here. Already, Landing Lounge, come on. So anyway, things went downhill from there. There weren't a lot of other gigs, you know, in January. Things got even slower. So I went back to my little studio, worrying about money and worrying about the cold and doing a little bit of scales. All of a sudden, this guy comes up, knocks on the door. He's about 6'6", really scary looking guy. He said, "You John?" I said, "Uh-huh." He goes, "This is for you." So he gives me this envelope. I open it and it says, "This big ugly guy has kidnapped me. Come with him." So I looked at him, he says, "You're supposed to come with me." I thought, oh God. So I walked with him. We went down these Cape Cod streets, you know, with the gray shingles, and went down the street a little bit, and we went to my friend's house. I thought, what the hell is going on here? So I went in. John Leisenring, transplant from Baltimore, is laying on his bed, puka beads, veils, candles, Billie Holiday, and incense, with his foot propped up and ice on it. He said, "Hun, I fell down the steps, I broke my ankle, and you got to go to work for me up the inn." I said, "I don't know how to cook. I did it with my grandmother for a while, but I don't know how to cook." He said, "Don't worry about it. Just go up there." So I go up to the Provincetown Inn, largest resort in New England. Well, I walked into the kitchen, and I walked into another world. It was absolutely amazing. There was equipment from 1920s that were probably, they got them from auto factories. You'd have to go a half a mile from one part of the kitchen to the other. Now, the cool thing was, as I was walking down, these people are working with, this was not crab cakes, and this was definitely not rockfish. There were these big, beautiful cod and scrod. They opened these cans with scallops, or sea pack dry scallops, just off the scallop boats, little bay scallops, and they had a lobster tank You could do laps in it. It was that good. So anyway, Chef Raymond comes out, tall, lanky guy, and he says, all right, well, we're going to put you on prep right now. Here's a 20-pound bag of garlic, and I'm going to need you to peel that. You can peel garlic, can't you? Oh, sure, yeah, I can peel garlic. Well, I looked at it. I had never seen garlic in its original form. Now, I come from an Irish Catholic family. We did not have garlic, nor was it allowed in the house. It's some sort of voodoo Catholicism that all comes together around garlic. Well, we'll talk about that later. So anyway, I started working on that. About 5 minutes, I cut myself. I said, Raymond, can I get a Band-Aid? I didn't know how to do this. So I do it a little bit more, about 10 minutes later. Raymond, can I get another Band-Aid? So when we got to the fourth Band-Aid, Raymond said, you know, maybe we'll take you off of this. So can you make pie shells? Can I make pie shells? Well, I had with my grandmother a couple of times, so they took me over to this huge pastry department, big bins of flour, rolling pin, this big, and he said, okay, I need you to make 36 of them. I said, oh, shit. So he leaves, I'm running around like a madman looking for a can of Crisco. I found it, we found the standard recipe, we all know it, okay? 36 times, oh my God, I don't know math very well. So I put this thing together, I had a bowl that I could have taken a bath in. And I'm putting everything into it, and it was horrible. It was this messy, pasty, I don't know what. But I thought, what the hell? I threw it on the pastry board, started rolling it, it was sticking to the board, it was sticking to the rolling pin. So I thought, oh well. And I just took it and started pushing it into the shells, making it all kind of go together. Well, it took me 6 hours to make those 36 pie shells. But I was very, very proud of them. So I called Raymond. Raymond, come on over here. Look, I'm finished. All four of the Band-Aids were gone. Thus began my culinary love affair. So then I just kept cooking. And I went on kind of cooking all over the country. It was kind of a culinary geographic of sorts. You've probably read it in my book, Cooking with Gin. So, you know, you just find yourself in another place cooking. But luckily, I seem to have learned some things and picked up some things as I went, and some apprenticeships. So I went on a 2-week vacation to California, to Berkeley, California, San Francisco, and I stayed for 18 years. It happens. That's also in the book. Anyway, I was so fortunate. This was an amazing time to be in California. It really was in the 70s, mid, late 70s. It was the beginning of the new American food revolution. So it was unbelievable. I was able to work like with Alice Waters and the whole gang. Jeremiah Towers, who was a classical musician who opened Stars and all these other places. Bruce Adell, who made some of the best sausages, and you may find it in many stores around. So there's all these people and creative energy. Nobody was trained as a chef. They had PhDs, they played pianos, unlike me. And it was great. And we started learning and meeting people. I had never met farmers who actually grew anything. Everything didn't come in a can. In fact, most things didn't come in a can. It was just a miraculous time, and I was able to learn so many things and taste so many things, and luckily I was also able to have a few restaurants of my own, and I just absolutely amazing. I ended up coming back where I started. I'd been gone for quite some time and came back. I missed my family. My mom was getting a little bit older. I thought, it's time. So I came back, did a television show with PBS, and now I'm just cooking at Gertrude's. But you know, a lot of young people come up to me all the time, and they say, oh, I love the Food Network. Oh my God, did you see Top Chef? Did you see this? Did you see that? And you know, I want to be a chef. I really want to be a chef. And I got all the paperwork. I'm going to go to the CIA, and I keep rerunning Emerald all the time, and I'm going to do all of this. Oh, my God, you had restaurants. And you have a restaurant, and my oh, my God, you did a PBS show. I can't believe it. And you wrote cookbooks. Oh, God, this is what I want to do. How do you do it? So I kind of just look at them and smile, and I go, you just got to play them black notes.